Welcome to Talks from the Bible. This program is brought to you by the Church of Christ, located at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia. We invite you to worship with us on Sunday morning. We meet at 10 o'clock for Bible study. At 11 o'clock, we assemble together to worship. We teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We give as we have been prospered. We remember the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. We read the Scripture and preach the Word of God. We engage in prayer to our Father who is in heaven. We urge you to come and assemble with us as we offer praise and worship to the Almighty God. I wish to consider with you the real relationship between Christ and His church. There are many in our culture of today who choose to separate Christ from the church. Many will follow Christ but refuse the church. But there is an inseparable union between Jesus Christ and the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 23, and reading through verse 32, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The mystery was God's hidden truth. It was hidden until that time, according to his own counsel, he desired for it to be revealed. Now Paul has revealed the great mystery concerning the church. This mystery is the inseparable union between Jesus Christ and his church. I wish for us to notice from this passage of Scripture that we have read, Christ is the head of the church. This simply means that he is the authority of the church. As we consider our own body, we understand that from the head comes the directions that all of the members of the body perform. The arms move, the eyes blink, the ears hear, the legs walk, all according to the direction given to them by the brain. And so Christ is the head of the church. He is the authority of the church. In verses 23 and 24, Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, the church is subject unto the will, the direction, the counsel, the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the church, we perform according to the will of Christ. We follow the directions of Christ. We do the will of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, we have already studied that God Almighty has raised Christ from the dead on the third day, and he has given him to be head over all things to the church. Jesus Christ is the head of his church. No man is the head of the church, but rather Christ is the head of the church. The commands for the lives of those who make up the church is not given by some individual or by some council of individuals, but rather by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. All we have to do in order to be pleasing unto God is read and study the Scripture. As we read and study the Word of God, we come to understand the will that God has for our life, and we must submit unto that will. We must not follow the directions of men, nor the commandments of men, for oftentimes these are contrary to the will of God. But rather, God has revealed His will in a book that we call the Bible. And as we read the Bible, we come to see the direction that God has for our life. We see in the Bible all that God would have us to do, all that God would have us to know, all that God would have us to be, so that we can be pleasing unto Him. I urge you, as you listen to my voice, that you would read and study the divine Scriptures, for they have been given unto us by Almighty God, so that we might know His will. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, when Jesus was going to ascend to His heavenly Father, He told His disciples, "All power, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth." Jesus has all authority. His word is to be the will of our life. We are to be guided by His divine counsel. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus goes into the mountain with Peter, James, and John. As you read these verses of Scripture, in beginning with verse 1 of Matthew 17, you see that Jesus is transfigured before them. His countenance changes. His raiment becomes white as the snow. And there appear with Him Moses and Elijah. Moses was the great lawgiver. Elijah was the voice of the prophets. And here are three tremendously powerful, important individuals in God's redemptive plan for humanity: Moses, Elijah, and Jesus Christ. In verse 5, a voice from heaven, God Himself speaks and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." Jesus Christ is the one that we are to hear. His voice we must follow, His commandments we must obey. In Hebrews chapter 1 at verses 1 through 3, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus Christ is the head, the authority of the church. We notice, secondly, the church is the body of Christ. Ephesians 5:23. Christ is the head of the church, and the church is subject unto Christ, and He is the Savior of the body. In chapter 1, at verse 22 and 23, God has given all things under the feet of Christ, given Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. The church is the body of Christ. That's similar to our very own body. As we think about our body and the many parts that this body has, so the church is made up of various parts. These parts are not the various religious denominations that exist in our world of today, for all of those different denominations war and fight against another. From them comes differing doctrines and various opinions. Jesus Christ is the head of His body, the church, and this body works according to His divine purpose and His divine will. In Romans chapter 12, at verses 4 and 5, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Notice the union that exists between these members of the body. The members are connected. They are members one of another, and they make up the one body in Christ. We have a head which directs our body. We have eyes, ears, arms, legs, feet. We have various organs. We understand that all of these members that make up this body work in accord with one another. Never do they work contrary one to the other, but all work according to the direction of the head, so that the performance of the body and the members might be accomplished. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, at verses 14 through 20, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." Many members in one body. Notice from Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one body. There are not many churches that are authorized by Almighty God. There are not various denominations that have come from the mind of God, but rather Jesus Christ has established His church. The churches of Christ salute you. The church of God, which is at Corinth, the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, the church at Ephesus, the church at Laodicea, the church at Philadelphia, the church at Sardis, Revelation 2:3, and so the various churches of Jesus Christ, many members, yet one body. All of these members work in accord one with the other. There is to be complete, perfect unity within the body of Jesus Christ as He is the head. We come into this one body as we submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we confess His name, repent of our sins, and are immersed in water. We are united with Jesus Christ, according to Romans 6:3-5, Galatians 3:26-27, and so we are added to the divine body of the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 2 and verse 47. Jesus Christ is the head over His body, the church. And just as you and I have but one body and one head, so Jesus Christ is the one head of His one body. Let us submit to this one body. Let us follow the counsel and the direction of Almighty God. I want us to notice, thirdly, that Christ is the Savior through sanctification and cleansing. 23-26, Ephesians 5. Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. The church is subject unto Christ. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Jesus Christ has saved the church. The manner in which He saved the church was shedding His blood on the cross of Calvary. We recall an earlier verse that we studied in a previous lesson, Acts 20:28. Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood. The church is a purchased institution, and the price which Jesus Christ paid for the church was his own precious blood. We understand by that blood we are cleansed and forgiven of sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, at verses 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul recounts how the Corinthians had been guilty of transgression and sin. As Paul enumerates these sins in chapter 6, verse 9 of the first epistle, he says that they that commit such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he says, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified. Those who were guilty of sin had been washed, they had been justified, and they had been sanctified. The manner of washing in the New Testament is baptism. The sanctification is by the Holy Spirit. Justification comes by the grace of God. The grace of God sent Jesus Christ into the world to shed his blood for the church and for the forgiveness of our sins. And when we are washed in the water of baptism, we come into the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which cleanses our sin. We become justified before God, made just by him, and sanctified by God's Holy Spirit as he comes to dwell in our heart. In the book of Titus, at chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, the apostle writes to this young preacher concerning this regeneration and this washing. Notice he says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." There are people who believe that they are unworthy of salvation. There are people who believe that they have committed such sin in their life that God will no longer forgive that sin. But here we notice these individuals that Paul identifies to young Titus. He says, "We ourselves were sometimes living this manner of life." Verse 4 says, "But what one was, he does not have to remain. Where one was, he does not have to stay. Jesus Christ has the power to deliver." When Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 13, he says that they had been delivered from the power of darkness. The blood of Jesus Christ has the power to deliver. And with that blood, our sins are removed and we become sanctified by God's Holy Spirit. We ourselves were sometimes, verse 4, Titus 3, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." Verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." We cannot merit our salvation. We cannot save ourselves. We have not the power. We have not the ability. We have not the wisdom. The plan of salvation, the way of salvation, has come by the grace of God, and through man's faith, we come to accept that plan and submit our will to his will so that we are saved from sin. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. God's mercy has saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We have been washed so that we are cleansed of sin, and we are sanctified by the Holy Ghost. To the Corinthians, Paul said, "Ye are washed, ye are justified, ye are sanctified." The words of Paul are written again to young Titus, the washing of regeneration, the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. in 1 John 1 and verse 7, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." The word "cleanseth" in this verse of Scripture means to continue to cleanse. Even after we have been cleansed once, Christ will cleanse us again by His divine blood. He becomes our advocate, according to 1 John 2 and verse 1. He pleads our cause as our intercessor before God, Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Jesus Christ will intercede for us so that we might be continually cleansed of our sin as we submit to His will, repent of sin, and pray unto Him for forgiveness. In verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The Church of Jesus Christ is a body which has been cleansed of sin through the washing of regeneration. This washing of regeneration, as we notice in the pages of Scripture, is baptism. When we are baptized into Jesus Christ, we are cleansed of sin. We are united with Christ. We have been taken from the domain of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, which is the Church. Fourthly, Christ has presented the Church to Himself. The Church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His purchased possession, and He has presented it unto Himself. Ephesians 5, verse 27, "that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." The Church of Jesus has been presented to Himself as a glorious church. The church is glorious. Oh, how we ought to desire to be members of the church. Oh, how we ought to be joyful when we wear the name, when we declare that we are members of the Lord's church. Almighty God, through grace and mercy, has offered us the opportunity to become members of the church. Jesus Christ has invited us to become members of His body, the church. And so that we might be a glorious church, He has cleansed the church and sanctified the church, so that the church is without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The church is holy and without blemish. Those who make up membership in the Lord's church have been forgiven of sin. They have been cleansed from sin. They are no longer under the dominion of sin, but they seek to follow and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ as members of His body. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, at verse 2, Paul says that he had presented the church of God at Corinth unto the Lord Jesus Christ as a chaste virgin. Chaste is to be pure. Chaste means that we are holy. And the church has been presented unto Jesus Christ as His bride. How many brides does Jesus have? He has but one. The church is the bride of Christ. And the church is as a chaste virgin presented unto Jesus Christ, free from sin and defilement. In Revelation 21 and verse 2, John says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." The church is presented to Jesus Christ as His bride, and she is adorned, made fit, pure, holy, unto her husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has presented the church to Himself. It belongs to Him, not only because He has purchased the church, but also because of divine right. Fifthly, Christ nourishes the church. Verse 29, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Just as we nourish the human body, so Jesus nourishes the church. Just as we take care of our human body, so Jesus takes care of His church. We feed our body. We exercise our body. We give our body the proper amount of sleep so that we can be healthy. We take care of ourselves. And so Jesus takes care of His church. He nourishes this divine body that He has purchased. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Jesus has chastened the church at Laodicea. He has rebuked them because they are not what they ought to be. They have become indifferent. They have become lazy. They have become satisfied. And so Jesus rebukes them and urges them, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Just as on occasion we must admonish our body to perform to the standard, to our expectation, so Jesus has urged His church to perform to His expectation. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2, He says to a church that is ready to die, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Their works had not been found perfect in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not pleased with what they were doing and how they were doing, and so He admonishes them. But notice in these two verses of Scripture, Revelation 3:19, Revelation 3:2, as Jesus writes to these two different churches, He does not cast them aside. He does not forget about them. He does not throw them away. But rather He admonishes them. He urges them. He desires for them to repent. When you and I fall into sin, when we give way to the temptations that are presented unto us by the devil, Jesus does not throw us away. He urges us to repent because we are part, a member of His body. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Jesus cannot be separated from His church, nor can the church be separated from Jesus. Jesus loves the church. Jesus rules over the church. The church is His precious body. Jesus has saved the church through His death upon the cross, and through that death we are washed and sanctified so that we are presented unto Him as a glorious church, holy, without spot, and without blemish, justified by the divine blood of Christ and the almighty grace of God, and made fit to serve and glorify Him through the church. Christ nourishes the church. As we follow Him, as we live under His direction, He will take care of us. He will bear our burdens. He will give us strength in times of temptation. He will comfort us in times of storm. He will come to us even as we come to Him, so that we might live lives upon this earth that glorify and honor Him. I call upon you to consider the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and become a member of this divine body through faith, repentance, confession, and immersion in water. Your life will be blessed. Thank you.